From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Hi and welcome to another John Hannam Meets archive. Today I want to celebrate the life of actor Tony Scannell, who sadly died in late May 2020. When I first saw Tony playing Ted Roach in The Bill, I just had that feeling I wanted to interview him. And when he and Chris Ellison, who played Burnside, were on screen together, it was always great fun and very, very electric. The opportunity finally came in 1996 when I went to the Selsey Kings backstage to interview Tony, who at that time was playing in the touring version of There's a Girl in My Soup. So we're going back to the Selsey Kings and the year of 1996.
Another Hannam Archive.
It's Tony, nice to meet you.
And you.
It's been a great thrill for me to come over to the mainland, really, to meet you, because you were one of my favourite characters from The Bill, to be perfectly honest. Ted Roach was something of a charismatic figure, really, wasn't he?
Well, he certainly caught on with the public for some reason or other. I don't know. I think they all like a bit of a, what do they call, the dark sheep or the black sheep, and the lost lamb or whatever it is, that sort of kind of character who can be very, very dangerous, but at the same time is a little kitten, really, isn't he?
Sort of a man's man part, too.
I think so, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and very trustworthy, and I think that's why the women liked him, because he didn't suffer fools gladly. And as long as the elderly people were taken care of, and as long as the kids were taken care of, he didn't really care about anybody else.
I'll let you into a secret. When you and Chris Ellison left, who played Burnside, I thought you were the focal point. We don't watch it anymore.
Oh dear. I hope the ITV people are listening.
I want to go back, because your father was a professional footballer, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Mm. Yes. He started off playing for, he played for various teams before he got to Southend. I think there was second division at the time. That was in the early 50s. And of course, he played Irish international as well. He played goalkeeper for Ireland twice. I was quite proud of that. Two caps, but I was quite proud of that. Not a lot of people get caps for international football,
no.
Do they?
Did you sort of have dreams, Tony, of football or not really?
None at all. I think that I had so much of football from him at the early times, and when I was a child, and that I actually ended up playing rugby and hockey. My brother, John, played quite well. He played quite a good standard football. But my father wanted us to be good footballers in the winter and good cricketers in the summer. And it wasn't a game, because I was schooled in Ireland.
Mm.
Cricket wasn't a game that was wasn't top of the shop in Ireland.
You had an amazing early life, because you were a singing bingo caller, weren't you?
Yes, that was one of the many jobs that I did, singing bingo caller.
Yeah. Can you sing or not really then? You can sing.
Oh, yes, I do. I was in a lot of musicals at the time. But yeah, I mean, most Irish and most Celtic people can sing, can't they?
Certainly can, yeah. Deep sea diver?
No, not an actual diver. No, I was with a salvage company.
Were you?
I looked after the divers. I made sure that the O-rings were set properly within the mouthpieces, so that they would have, and to make sure that they had coffee. And I drove a Zodiac. Which is the boat to look after them. And you have to, I mean, to be a deep sea diver, I mean, you have to train for years and years and years. No, I looked after them. My brother's father-in-law ran a company called Eurosalve, and they're probably best known, actually, for taking the Athena B off Brighton Beach there about 12 years ago or something. And my job, when I went to work with them, was in 1983, 1984. And actually, there's a little story about that. But we were taking up the two coal boats, the Nellie M was one, in Derry Harbour, that the IRA had sunk in the harbour. And we were salvaging those two coal boats over a period of time. But in 94, or late 93, early 94, I was in Ireland with this company, Salvage Company, and having a great time. A message came from my agent to say that these ITV people would like to interview me about a new series. And I said, oh, God, I've had enough. I'm not going to be an actor. I've had enough of acting. I'm really enjoying this life, you know, because it was great bonhomie and good, you know, sort of hard life, and you played hard and worked hard, and it was great. And the boss man, Jimmy Rowland, said, no, if you don't go back, I'm going to kick you out of the firm anyway, because you're an actor. Mm. And that's what you should be doing. This is not your life. No, so go back. And I didn't have much money, so he paid for my fare back to England to go and see these people. So when I went to see these people, and they said really silly things to me, like, how do you feel about working for a year on television? You know, I said, oh, you know, you'd be going to turn it down. You know. So I said, well, that'd be nice. And then they said, well, what have you been doing lately? And I said, well, I've been salvaging coal boats that were sunk by the IRA in Northern Ireland. And I think, I really do believe deep down that that's the reason why I got the job, particularly because it was something different, you know, because I think there was about 200 or 300 people interviewed for the part of Ted Roach. And of course, he was a Cockney to begin with and was only in two episodes.
Really?
Mm. So that was really, so it was really pleased about that I was asked to, that they wrote the part bigger.
It was a really funny one when actually you were sort of drink driving one night, I think, and you drove through something. Do you remember that particular
episode? Oh, gosh,
and they
yes,
cut you off, didn't they?
That's right. I did a runner, didn't I?
Yes, you certainly did.
Put into this black guy's garden, but who fortunately happened to be a policeman from Trinidad. And he wanted to get into the specials here, so I said, okay, you help me out, I'll help you out. So that was the kind of guy Roach was. So. It was rather strange at the time because we'd only done the first episode, and I had interviews because I was going to, because, you know, it was only two episodes I was working with. I was going to see this director about starring in a play for him down in Vauxhall way. And I went down, and I got involved in a mugging, because this lady was being mugged by these two guys, and I ran down to them and shouting at the top of my voice, you know, to say, go away, you know, leave her alone. Now, they're supposed to run away, aren't they?
Mm.
Well, they didn't. They stayed, and they beat the living daylights out of me. So much so that it happened at about 5:45 in the evening, and I was picked up by the police. Now, this was in Vauxhall, and I was picked up by the police on Chelsea Bridge, completely out, didn't know who I was or anything like that, at 2:00 in the morning. And obviously, nobody would come anywhere near me because I was covered in blood. So they obviously thought, and I was staggering all over the place, so everything thought, I'm some old drunk, you know, so they left me alone, and the police picked me up finally. And I stayed in hospital overnight, and then had to go the next morning. I thought I'd lost the job. And the Bill people were very, very kind about it. And they rewrote the second script that I'd been beaten up in a pub. So I went in. And people wrote in and actually said that the makeup was atrocious. It was over the top. So it was real.
It was when you were in the RAF that you sort of decided you wanted to be an entertainer. Was that correct?
Yes, yes. Well, I had my own radio program.
I know you did, yeah. What sort of stuff did you do?
BFBS, Late Night, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Tony Bennett. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the later romantic song. That was good for BFBS in Cyprus. But I found out I could get off guard duty if I joined the local amateur dramatic society. And if I helped out there, helping the wing commander's wife get curtains for the, you know, for the sets, and help out generally, and maybe drive her into town or whatever like that, I would be able to get off guard duty. So I became a member of the amateur dramatic society in Cyprus. And that was good. And that was the beginning of it. And people applauded me on stage, so I thought, okay, I'll have some of this.
You got involved with Joan Littlewood, which was a great stepping ground for lots of famous actors, really.
Very much so, yes. Yeah. Very, very much so. I sort of followed in the footsteps, really, of people like Richard Harris and Donald Sutherland. I was just after all those times. I was really at the end. I mean, Jerry Rattles actually died while I was there. He died on holiday in France while I was there. Although Joan never actually directed me in anything.
I'm Fenella Fielding. And whenever I can, I listen to John Hannum Meets.
My current guest is Tony Scannell, famous as Ted Roach in The Bill, but has done so much during his life. We look back at his early days when he was a disc jockey and actor and singing bingo caller,
deck chair attendant. I was a painter, not an artist painter, but a painter. I painted the roof in Dungeness Power Station.
Did you?
Yes, for my sins. I was also a builder's labourer.
When you sort of got into acting, did you ever think you would change direction? You'd had so many other jobs, but was that it once you started? Or
I think so. I don't mean to be pompous about it, but I think acting chooses you. Unfortunately, then you can't get away from it. I can't. I mean, surely a grown man, it's not a grown man's game. It's something. I mean, you're doing something you love and you're getting paid for it, you know. So there must be something that, you know, more sustaining than acting, because, I mean, it could stop at any moment, you see, and I still can't get away from it.
Armchair Theatre, Sergeant Cribb, The Professionals, Gentle Touch. You had quite a background in TV, really, other than The Bill, didn't you?
Yes. But all, I mean, nothing that you would... You never recognise anybody, really, no matter who they are, unless they are on the television for a while. And then you remember them in other things. What was that? Flash Gordon. I was in that film.
No,
Flash
anyway.
Gordon. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't go out and make a cup of tea if you wanted to see me, or even go to the toilet if you wanted to see me, because you'd have missed me. I had a big beard in those days.
Did you?
Yeah. I had to say to Ming, to that lovely Swedish actor, I had to say, "Shall I zap him now, sir?" That was it.
Just going back to the Bill for a while, it was a great series, lots of viewers, and I suppose everyone asked you why you left. Had you had enough, Tony, really?
I had enough. I did it for nearly 10 years, just over 9 years. And I think, really, that I would like to have left, or I should have left, I think, after about 6 years. But it's very difficult. And I think one of the reasons as well that I left it, main reason, I think, I don't know how to explain it, really. I was actually becoming not a very nice person. I'm beginning to believe my press. And I was sort of so cosseted, you know. I couldn't go anywhere without people. You know, they would send cars for me, send limos here. If I went here, I couldn't buy anything. You know, I would be allowed. I didn't, like royalty anyway, I didn't have to take any money with me. Free entry here, free this, free that. And everybody would be waving at me, and I had so many friends. And I mean, I do have nice friends, but you have friends that you don't even know, you know.
Mm.
And I don't know whether it's hangers-on. I don't think it's like that, but I don't know. I began to believe it, that this unreality was real. And I mean, I actually remember saying to somebody, and I knew that that was time for a change then, that I actually said to somebody, "Look, I know you have a point of view, but I want you to listen to mine only." I actually said that to someone. I thought, my God, if I can behave like that. It's time for a change. It's time to do something else. Get out. Get real.
400 fan letters a week.
Yes. And I became very bad as well, because I stopped answering after a while, because there was so much. So I actually had to hire somebody to answer the fan letters, and there was a fan club as well. But it takes so much time. It really became so time consuming.
Tony, being that sort of popular, is it stressful? Really, is it
very stressful? Mm. It was very, very stressful. Although it was only afterwards that I realized how stressful it was, and it was only afterwards when I stopped doing it and I had time to cool down and really just reassess myself that I began to become a nice person again.
Was there anything of Ted Roach in you, in your real life? Are you sort of a good time boy or not really?
Oh, I was, no doubt about it. I mean, I spent most of my time and my money in nightclubs. There's no doubt about that, for a period of 5, 6, 7 years. And I enjoyed every moment of it, and I would not take it back for a moment. I loved every moment of it. But it was a part of my life, and I mean, Peter Stringfellow is a very, very dear friend of mine, and has been for 12, 13 years. And I would not want to change that either. I mean, you meet nice people and good people in your lifetime, and why should that change simply because, you know, it's time to do something else? And it's still acting, what I'm doing now, and as we'll talk hopefully about a new television things that I'm going to be doing.
Before we talk about that, you won a very good award for a movie called Cheap Perfume, didn't you?
Yes, I've never actually seen the movie.
Haven't you?
No, I've never seen it. But it was about a chap who came back from Vietnam, an American GI who came back from Vietnam. And then they told me about 6-7 years after I'd won the award. They told me that I had won it 6 years previously. So it wasn't really the sort of the big movie thing of, you know, like you're invited out to, where was it again? I think it was in Chicago.
Yes, it was.
It was in Chicago. So they didn't actually invite me out there, you know, to accept this award for the movie. But somebody rang me up about 6 years later and said, oh, by the way, you know, you won an award, a Grand Prix award at the Chicago Arts Festival. Thank you very much. There we are.
I suppose in the bill there was a certain amount of comedy because you made your part quite comical at times. So going into A Girl in My Soup, you had done some sort of comedy, hadn't you, really?
Well, I worked for Jack Watling. That was my first break. Jack came and directed me in Noel Card's Private Lives.
Mm.
I did that for Jack, and it was my thesis play in the last year at the drama school, and he liked it so much he asked me to come and open it down at Frinton for him for the summer season. So we did 8 plays in 7 weeks, you know, put on one and then put on Private Lies and learnt another 7 in the next 7 weeks and put them on. So you're rehearsing one on and getting rid of one. And that was great grounding. And of course we did all the old stalwarts, you know, Ghost Train, Rookery Nook, those kind of things. So there was a good grounding from Jack Watling. And Pardon Me, Prime Minister, that was a good start to my life in the theatre.
So now you're into a national tour of Girl in My Soup.
Well, yes, and again, I mean, I've got to thank the Bill for that kind of thing. I mean, if I had not been Ted Roach in the Bill, nobody is going to give me the lead, you know, leading it. I mean, this is, I don't know, sort of £400,000, £500,000 tour. Nobody's going to give me the lead in something like that, you know, that kind of, unless you're well known. And so the Bill, I've got the Bill to thank for that.
Playing a ladies' man, very difficult for you, really, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so. No, I'm a reformed ladies' man.
Do you like touring? Is it fun? You've got a long tour ahead of you.
I don't know yet. The longest tour I ever did was, Happy as a Sandbag, with Ken Lee's comedy about the Second World, the songs and the speeches of the Second World War. I played a comedy role in that. Max Miller, I played Max Miller for 20 minutes on the stand-up comedy and that, so that was a good grounding as well. But that was lasted 6 months. That was on tour for 6 months, and I didn't really enjoy the last 2 months of that, so we've only been going for 4 weeks in this, and we're going to be going until Christmas, which is not 6 months, but it isn't nearly. Well, by the time it'll be finished, it'll be about 6 months.
A little bird tells me you might even be playing a sort of a priest. Is that right or not? In a new series?
Yes, the new series, if we sell it. If we sell it. It's called The Gospel According to O'Rourke. And it's about an ex-captain in the Paras who has a near-death experience in the Falklands and who then goes back and wants to become, because he lives through it, he's shot, really, and has nearly died, and he comes through, and he decides to be what he always wanted to be, or should have been when he was 16, but his younger, good-looking brother was made the priest instead, so he becomes a priest, and works in the inner cities. Oh, we haven't decided where at the moment. And he's a sort of a thorn in the side of the police and in the side of the villains, because of he gets involved. Because of his abilities, he gets involved. People come up and say to him, look, you know, I'm having, you know, the way that people come up, the priest, and tell him their problems, but he actually gets involved. So we've written about 3 or 4 with a very dear friend of mine, the writer, Jack Cadogan. And hopefully we'll be able to sell it, and hopefully it'll be on with somebody within the next 18 months.
Let's hope so. Quickly, you like cookery, snooker, golf, cycling, lots of other interests, do you?
Yes, I do. I've also got my helm in albacores and fireflies, so I can sail as well. I think it's the Air Force was the the reason for all that, because it's very, very, very physical being in the Air Force. So I learned a lot when I was in the Air Force.
Glad you chose acting then, really, aren't you, in the end?
I think so. I don't know about people that I've got to act with, but I like it.
Tony Scannell, it's been a real thrill to meet you. I've enjoyed you so much on TV, and you're such a nice guy in real life, which
Thank
is lovely.
Thank you very much indeed.
And good luck with the rest of this tour and that exciting new TV series.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're listening to Isle of Wight Radio, and don't miss John Hannam Meets, because you like it. Not a lot, but you like it.
Today you've been listening to a John Hannam Meets archive to celebrate the life of actor Tony Scannell, who sadly died in late May 2020. Actually, I only met Tony on the one occasion, which was backstage at the King's Theatre Southsea in 1996. But I do have such happy memories of the time we spent together. He made me laugh, and I loved him in the Bill. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to go to my website, johnhannam.com, for news of future interviews and how you might purchase my books online. Bye-bye for now.